Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. Remember, this show is crowdfunded. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe to our Patreon. It's only $4 a month. That's only $1 a week. And not only do you get a commercial-free and extended version of this show each and every week, along with that, you get 4 other podcasts per week. It's all at patreon.com/snmeradio. That's patreon.com/snmeradio. Check it out. We appreciate your support.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE is pandemic profitable. Eazy-E invades AEW. And Santina Marella is back in the gym. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Jason Agnew keeping you company on this midsummer night as we take a look back at what took place inside and around the squared circle and a bit of the octagon this week. And nothing goes better on a midsummer night than a Great Lakes beer. And here to serve it up is my pal, Bartender Dave. Dave and I will recap and review the highs and lows of this past week in the world of wrestling TV. But before we get to that, Dave, we have another Dave on the show. It's Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. He'll be on in hour one to break down this week's top stories and tell me why the WWE has decided to do a pay-per-view 1 week after SummerSlam. Ugh. We'll also check in with our pal, friend of the show, Anthony Corelli. Yep, the former Santino Marella is busy back opening up Battle Arts Gym and recovering from his stem cell treatments. We'll get that update in this first hour. All of that plus some turnbuckle trivia to come for your ears tonight right here on Sunday night's main event. But let's get things started with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
All right, here we go. WWE spit out their second quarter results this week. This encompasses the 3 months ending on June the 30th. The company earned total revenues of $223.4 million and earned total operating income of $55.7 million. Now, the revenue figure declined $45 million from the same period last year, and that was nearly all attributed to the absence of any revenue from live events, as this was the first quarter where the company had no shows as a result of COVID-19. Total operating income increased threefold from the same period last year, which was only $17.1 million, thanks in part to savings realized from cost reductions, and that is, of course, they had no cost relating to live event promotion. Producing in the Performance Center is a fraction of what it costs to do these shows all across North America on a touring brand. Overall, WWE is incredibly profitable in a time when many other companies are having a hard time due to COVID-19. Now, the stock, however, remained virtually unaffected by the report, and that was probably because you had a lot of investors asking questions about ratings dropping. We'll start our conversation with Dave Meltzer talking about what these figures mean for the WWE going forward. Despite what was a very strange way to write her off TV in a Bayley backstage beating, Kairi Sane does look to be done with WWE. Kairi sent out a farewell message on her Twitter following Monday night's show, and the company uploaded a video of Kairi reflecting on her career in WWE. Triple H also tweeted, quote, "A truly unique young woman with the ability to capture hearts, minds, and pirate ships. Proud of @Kairi Sane WWE's growth as a performer and her time spent with WWE NXT and WWE. End quote. Although I was never a fan, I think we can all agree from her gimmick to her time in the main roster, her time in WWE was forgettable. I would say forgettable. In Wednesday night ratings news, AEW Dynamite had the higher viewership this week with 773,000 viewers as opposed to 707,000 for NXT. That's actually up 15% for NXT from last week. And that's quite surprising to me because the past week we featured the return of Major League Baseball and the combined average ratings of these shows were basically the same as they were the previous week. It's going to be interesting to see what this week holds because we have both the NHL and, more importantly for the American market, the NBA returning, and people are pretty hot to watch some basketball. As you may have seen, Matt Cardona debuted this past week on Dynamite, which really leaves Rusev as the major free agent yet to appear in a new promotion. Well, I suppose, you know, No Way Jose is still out there, but he's yet to be seen in his new look, despite a fun mention by Tommy Dreamer on Impact this week on their very strange Wrestle House vignettes that they're doing. Also debuting on Dynamite, Arian Andrew. Yeah, the former WWE Funkadactyl Cameron will be a part of the Deadly Draw tournament. This ought to fix the AEW women's division. In signings that make more sense, Eddie Kingston was officially signed to an AEW deal. In other Dynamite news, you surely noticed that Excalibur was not used on this past Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, and while no official reason was given, it's believed that he was pulled due to an angle from 17 years ago in PWG. Now, in that angle, he called Human Tornado the N-word. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that Excalibur was the one who made the call to not appear on Dynamite as he didn't want to make the issue the focus of the show. Again, I'll chat with Dave, considering he's the one that reported this, in the next segment. Jericho and Orange Cassidy will have a debate this week with a special guest moderator. And if you haven't heard about this yet, here's your spoiler. And you're going to want to hear about it because it's probably going to make you tune on in. I'm very interested in this. The moderator will be Eric Bischoff. Wow. The following week, FTR will hold the Celebration of Tag Team Wrestling. By the way, this week for patrons, I will be covering off for Dan Lavransky and chatting with Joe Aguinaldo, so I'll be able to give my thoughts there about Eazy-E sliding into AEW. AEW also answered some of our questions on how the Deadly Draw Tag Team Tournament is going to work. The tournament will feature 8 teams, all chosen via a random draw. The 16 female competitors will draw a color, with those drawing matching colors paired up. The selections are final and can't be appealed. Most importantly, and strangely, these matches will not take place on Dynamite. The tournament will begin this Monday on their YouTube channel at 7 p.m. So I'm curious to see, even though they're not appearing on Dynamite, whether we get mentions on Dynamite. I'm kind of surprised how this is all breaking down, but I'll give them a chance about what they're doing with this. I'll give them a chance. I hope they find some new female stars, because in my opinion, that division still needs to be bolstered up slightly. It's still lacking. New Japan Pro Wrestling announced last night that Juice Robinson is currently unable to compete due to a right leg injury, and as a result of the injury, he will not be competing on forthcoming New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong broadcast, which start August 7th, when LEC presents New Japan Cup USA. WWE has reportedly signed 2 Evolve talents, which is really no surprise that they're picking and choosing considering they bought the company. Anthony Green, Leon Ruff, signed to WWE. So a report states, British wrestling legend Mark Rollerball Rocca, that's Mark Hussey, passed away at 69 years old. Rocca was the original Black Tiger in Japan, debuting in New Japan in 1982 as a rival of Tiger Mask. Rocco's passing was announced by All Star Wrestling, who wrote that Rocca has been suffering for the past few months. He was 69 years old. And finally, a couple MMA notes here, and this is pretty interesting, folks. On Tuesday, Dana White spoke to CNN and unveiled plans for one of their biggest fights of the fall. The light heavyweight championship unification bout between current champion Khabib Nurmagomedov and interim champion Justin Gaethje is a go for Saturday, October 24th, location to be determined. Then, Dana decided to tease us all with the potential of a Nurmagomedov versus GSP matchup, saying, quote, sure, yeah, if it's the last fight of his career. The guy's been great. He's been great to the company. He's been great for the sport. And I like Khabib Nurmagomedov a lot. I would do anything Khabib wanted to do, end quote. This is a huge change in tune for Dana because he did not want this fight to happen. Now, you may be thinking that Nurmagomedov's claim of retirement is nonsense, as I did. And I was going to joke about it in the news, but then I did a little research, and let's take a look at the factors here. Nurmagomedov is a man who has a reputation of being dedicated to his craft and is a do-what-I-say, say-what-I-do, no-nonsense type of individual. I mean, I saw this because he really didn't understand how Conor McGregor's hype of a fight helped him, and instead he just thought it to be disrespectful. So he doesn't get that aspect of the business. He's just very respectful of what he does. Okay, number two, the plan of Nurmagomedov's retirement was previously talked about by his father in 2019. Now, his father has since passed away due to complications from COVID-19. So, being the traditionalist individual that he is, Khabib may want to stay true to his father's wishes. But what about the GSP side of things? Now, originally, once again, I would have just pushed this away and said GSP stated a few weeks ago that he's not interested in coming back. Well, GSP recently did an interview stating he believed that many fighters don't retire early enough. Cool. Then he did another interview with ESPN about Dana and Khabib's statement and stated the following, quote, "Damn, just when I thought I would have peace of mind, I look forward to watching Khabib and Gaethje in October. Best of luck to them." Sounds like the door is open a crack, folks. I could see these two very respected and respectful fighters having their final fights against one another. That is, I mean, unless GSP wins, and then finally I get my GSP versus Conor McGregor fight. It would be the biggest fight in UFC history. I don't think it's happening, but guess I can dream, right? Guess I can dream. Oh, and one final note. In the world of Donald Trump America, according to TMZ, Tito Ortiz has filed to run for a seat in the Huntington Beach, California City Council. Okay, Tito. Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come on back, and we will chat with Dave Meltzer about some of the things that we mentioned in the news pack. That is coming up next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. All the leaves are brown.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Of course, it is our time to duck over to San Jose to chat with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer. Dave, the WWE quarterly report is out, and to no surprise, they are still very profitable.
Well, we knew that they were going to set profit records this year, and then they'll break them next year and break them again the year after, just because of the escalation of the television money. But they were actually far more profitable than most thought. I mean, analysts had it pegged at about 11 to 12 million profit, and they were 43.8 million. So it's like a huge difference. And, you know, what the two key things were, the WWE Network had a shocking increase in viewership during the pandemic, or subscribers during the pandemic, for a number of reasons. And I think the key one's actually just they dumped the free trial. Mm-hmm. And then the 30-day free trial. They added a free tier, but the free tier doesn't give you the pay-per-views for free and a lot of the stuff that the network does. So it didn't cannibalize on it like the free trial did. And then the other one, obviously, is they save so much money producing television. When you do multiple shows at one time, you save travel costs, you save production costs. Producing a television show in the Performance Center is pennies compared to, you know, producing a television show at a major arena. And, you know, they fly less people in because they have a smaller roster, because so many people are sick all the time or not working. So, you know, and so many backstage people don't need to be there. And, the profit margin is sky high. And it, of course, begs the question of why they cut all those people. But, you know, and next quarter is going to be way more profitable, most likely, because they're going to save the $4 million in cuts that were not even factored into this quarter. But,
The stock price, though, I think it's up maybe $2 or something like that.
It's up a little bit, yeah.
This was the first quarterly report, though, where investors on the call did kind of go after, hey, you know what, your ratings are way down, and there does seem to be some concern.
A lot. That's one of the reasons the stock didn't skyrocket, is because the new mentality now is, okay, you know, things are, you know, We're not going to go broke during the pandemic, which they never were. Profits are going to be really high the next couple of years, but everyone is concerned. What about 2024? Because the feeling is, if the ratings were high, they would go like, we're going to get another giant increase in rights fees in 2024. But these ratings are just going down so much, and they're going like, the international rights fees are declining because of international ratings being down. And they had a unique situation where USA and Fox were both bidding for the stuff, so it really drove the price up. But, you know, the question is in 2024, is Fox going to go in there and go, God, did we get had? And is USA, you know, is NBC Universal going to have the financial backing of USA like they even have now? Because USA is very much of a struggling network, whereas even a year and a half ago, it was not to this degree.
Yeah, that is all of those questions. And really,
also, like, you know, NBC's putting, you know, its money on, you know, Peacock and other things, and they're taking it away from cable, and taking that away from cable means the cable stations have less money. And WWE is still carrying USA, but as USA becomes less of a priority, WWE ratings turn around and they're good. They'll do well. And there'll be other people interested. But, you know, if they continue to decline at the rate they're declining by 2024, if we get 30% declines year after year, people in television are just going to be like, this is yesterday's news.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a sinking ship. And that's where the concern is right now.
So why has this sinking ship decided to put a pay-per-view 1 week after SummerSlam?
Two major shows, 2 weeks right before AEW All Out. Pretty simple.
So they're just trying to burn fans out.
If you always consider, you know, Vince McMahon and his thought, and it's always, you know, hurt the opposition. And, you know, what did AEW's last pay-per-view do? I mean, I don't know the number, but it was a record number. It was mm-hmm. you know, like 120 or whatever. So it's kind of like they're getting momentum. What do? Let's put two pay-per-views on right before them. Try to steal the thunder.
Wow. Kairi Sane, done with WWE, an okay run in NXT, kind of forgettable on WWE, and a very strange way to write her out and get rid of her, Dave.
Well, it was changed. You know, the original idea was, you know, to put heat on a heel, which, I mean, I guess, but, and you know, have Asuka feud with that heel. And, I mean, I guess you could do an Asuka-Bailey feud, but they took the title off of Asuka. I'm sure they'll do Asuka and Sasha Banks but probably at SummerSlam. So, I mean, they'll play into it and stuff to a degree, but I don't know. It was a way to get the title off of Asuka and to Sasha Banks in the manner that led to hundreds of thousands of people turning the channel. It was an idea that didn't work.
Yeah. Matt Cardona debuting in AEW, once again debuting with no fans out there. I would have held off a while just because there is a lot of WWE players happening here. What did you think of the debut? I kind of thought anticlimactic.
It was there. I mean, it's without fans, it's so hard to say. Because like even with FTR, when they showed up the first time, I thought it was clever. They come in truck. But with no fans there, it just doesn't feel anything special. And you know, it's hard when you've got these guys that WWE didn't do anything with, and people's predominant, you know, vision of these guys is WWE. Like, I know FTR. I mean, watch, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Cardona, you know, we'll see. You know, maybe, I mean, he'll get a chance, and we'll see. But it's like, you know, TNA did the same stuff. And you don't want people to follow the mistakes of TNA, which is like bring these guys in and then have them, you know, look better than your own guys when they were, you know, low card guys that WWE cut. It's a weird thing, and it's sometimes not the fault of the guys. Often it's not the fault of the guys in the sense it's how they're perceived. But the fact is that the public does perceive it. And I think the right WWE guy. I think that, you know, Rusev would be the right guy. Rey Mysterio, without a doubt.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, no matter what they did to Rey Mysterio, because he's bulletproof. You know, Matt Cardona is going to be up to Matt Cardona. If Matt Cardona goes out there and wrestles great, I think that within 2 months, people will, you know, a lot of people go, it was WWE's fault, this guy's great. If he wrestles average, it'll actually be, average isn't good enough in today's wrestling. If he wrestles average, it'll be a negative.
Excalibur was not on AEW. The story here, did he pull himself or was he pulled due to this footage that surfaced?
I don't know. Mm. Everyone's quiet on the Excalibur front. I actually don't know the answer to that one. I presume he pulled himself just because that's the story that's been going around, but I don't know that as fact.
All right. Well, we'll just leave that one be. I've already gone over that in the news back as to what happened this week. I mean, it's not a spoiler. Actually, I think it's great for AEW that this has come out. But Eric Bischoff going to be there as the moderator. Did you ever think you'd see the day, Dave, of Eric Bischoff on AEW TV?
Yes. I didn't think like 50% or more. But the idea, yes. Those guys like him. You know, as a TV character and everything like that. I hope doesn't end up in management.
I just hope.
But, you know, and I don't rule anything like that out. You know, stuff happens. I've seen, look at all the stuff we've seen in the last year. I mean, put it this way. I always thought that Eric Bischoff ending up in AEW was a far greater chance than back with WWE. And he was back with WWE in a spot where I would have never imagined that he would have been. So, you know, wrestling goes back to those, you know, it's one of those weird things where they always go back to those guys rather than try new guys. And new guys, and historically, if you look at history of wrestling, it's the new guys who make the changes, not the old guys. Because the old guys are thinking in a different generation. And it's just, you know, it's just a different generation. You know, I mean, I think Vince is, you know, proof of that. You know, I mean, Vince is so out of touch now. And Vince, you know, in his day, was the most in-touch guy there was.
Well, I'm very curious to see what Eric does here, because say what you will about him behind the scenes, when he has been on camera, he has been an exceptional on-camera performer.
He's a great television performer, yeah, yeah. But, okay, so here's the thing. So, I mean, as far as, like, one shot on this, you know, people may get interested in seeing him a little bit, and he may be really good in the role. Probably will be really good in the role, okay? But it's the same thing. I just think that I would rather, if it was my company, I would rather have that TV time devoted to Jungle Boy and Darby Allin and Ricky Starks and Sammy Guevara and those type of guys who may not be as good TV performers as him right now, but they're the guys that you have to build. That's your future. And Eric can't be your future. I mean, he just can't be. And to me, AEW... Everything about AEW to me is not about the present, and it's all about the future. And that's why overloading it with guys, 60 plus, I think is a terrible idea.
Okay.
But, you know, as far as a one shot for Eric Bischoff, I think that's actually a positive, as much as I don't like Eric Bischoff. But as a regular television character now, while I think he would be good, I don't think it's the right thing.
Yeah, okay. You know, I agree with you on that, because also, if you think about the way he's being used now, you talked about, you know, helping the new guys, and this is actually going to assist Orange Cassidy, or at least it should.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Yes,
hopefully. The way it's laid out. The one thing is I have pretty great confidence in Jericho when it comes to the system. Jericho's bait.
Yep.
And you know, Jericho has a lot more hits than misses by a wide margin, especially this year. So I'm sure it'll be laid out good. And, you know, and who knows? And maybe it won't work. But I would give odds that it would work. You know, the other thing, I mean, as far as, was going to say, the, you know, I just remember when and there's reasons that this didn't happen, but I remember Don Callis talking to me when they took over Impact. And we were talking about Jim Cornette, and he was just like, Jim Cornette is the best thing on this show, but we don't want, you know, we don't want the authority figure because it's played out. But also, he's so great that he makes everyone else not look great. It's almost like that double-edged sword of bringing back. I was talking to somebody, you know, about Dwayne Johnson coming back to Raw. It's like, you know, there's a double-edged sword. Yeah, he's great, but then the minute you see him, you all of a sudden realize that none of these guys can compare, and they look even more second rate. And I would rather have younger guys who aren't as good right now, in, you know, as far as like, you know, dominating the television time.
Yeah. Okay. I do see what you mean there. All right, Dave, one final question here before we say goodbye today. And that is, what are the odds of GSP and Khabib happening?
Wow. I mean, it's 100% up to GSP.
He seemed, I was shocked because, you know, in that ESPN interview, he did seem to leave the door open a crack and say that he would be watching this fight, which very much surprised me.
Yeah. So I think if it was a year and a half ago, he would have done it. But as he approached, because one of the things he never wanted to do was fight at 40. Mm. You know, I mean, I remember like years ago, it was like, you know, I mean, if it was like 37, 38, I think he'd have given it a try, because the money would be there and everything. But at close to 40, you know, he'll be 40 when the match happens, and that's not what he wanted to do. So I'm going to say 30%.
Okay.
I mean, I'd absolutely not shut the door. And I don't even think, I think that there's the money thing. Can he get motivated for the one more fight? You know, I mean, it's certainly a guy to motivate you, but, you know, long layoffs, man, they're tough. Especially like Khabib. I mean, even though Khabib Khabib's not actually a smaller guy than George. They're about the same size. And I mean, George in his prime against Khabib would have been fascinating. I don't know if it would be an incredible fight, but it would be absolutely fascinating to watch and gigantic. You know, but yeah, I mean, Dana said he would consider it, and he never considered Khabib and Conor McGregor, which would have been, you know, I mean, the biggest pay-per-view that they ever did.
Well, I mean, that or GSP and Conor as well would have been a huge pay-per-view.
I meant GSP.
Oh, sorry, okay.
I meant GSP and Conor. I just screwed up because of Khabib, yeah.
All right, well, you got another phone ring, and I'm going to let you go. What in the Observer this week? Anything special, or just covering the news?
Well, I'm definitely going to have a big feature on Rollerball Rocco.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that much I know. You know, probably more on the financial stuff. And, you know, again, you know, it's never a slow week. I mean, come Tuesday, Wednesday, I mean, especially Wednesday, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of stuff. Monday rain's going to be interesting. You know, I think with nothing advertised, you know, the Monday number could be bad. And at this point, like anything like in the record range, record low, I mean, like we're coming off, you know, like last Monday where they hot-shotted the show and still did the second lowest number. So Monday number could be bad. And that in itself right now coming off of that investor's call, that's not a good thing. You know, Vince has said that they know how to turn this around, which he said before, but now everyone's watching,
yeah.
You know, to see, you know, and not just the investors. I mean, it's like Variety had a story. It's like, the industry is watching Vince's ratings like it has never watched before. And that puts even more pressure on Vince and Bruce and everybody there.
All right, Dave. Well, we look forward to reading that. And I'll talk to you next week at this same time about those ratings.
Okay. Have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com. Find out all of the news by reading the Wrestling Observer and listening to those podcasts there. Great site. Going to take a break. coming on back. Turnbuckle Trivia next. We'll play a little Rhyme Time and then round out this hour with the interview with Santino Marella / Anthony Corelli and then Bartender Davis all next hour for an extended edition. It's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Our two players are on the line, and we're going to get into it a little Rhyme Time today. First... Curtis from California is on the line. Curtis, you've won once before. What T-shirt did you choose?
I got the AEW logo last time.
Yeah, that's a solid shirt. It's like, at this point, having the AEW shirt is like having the NWO shirt back in the day, right?
Yeah, I felt like that was a good first choice.
Totally.
Maybe a Sunday Night Main Event shirt if I win this time.
I like the sound of that. I'm not going to say I'm rooting for you because, I mean, Sam could also pick a Sunday Night's Main Event shirt. Now, Sam, you have yet to get a T-shirt. What do you have your eyes set on?
The SCU, worst year ever.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, what a great shirt. Worst year ever. And they're not wrong. So here we go, guys. We're playing Rhyme Time. Of course, the winner, as we mentioned, gets a T-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. And Curtis, you'll go first. Sam, you'll go second. Remember, though, with a game format, steals are in play. Three questions each. Let's see how it goes. Curtis, here's your first question. In the Rhyme Time game, your answer must rhyme. NXT Women's Champion is given a Matrix makeover. NXT Women's Champion is given a Matrix makeover. What would her name be?
Io Neo?
Yeah, Io Neo is correct. Neo, Io, either one's fine with me. Very good. All right, Curtis, first point for you. Sam, to you. Matt Cardona reverts to his WWE persona to market apple and pear alcoholic beverages.
I don't know.
All right. That means the steal goes over to Curtis. Curtis, you got something?
Would that be Zack Ryder Cider?
Yeah, Ryder Cider is what we were looking for there. Very good. Curtis gets the steal on that. Back to you now, Curtis. Otis's main squeeze launches a distilled wine beverage brand.
Distilled wine. I'm not getting the second half of that, so I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Hey, he's a smart player, but Sam, with the clue there, can you pick up a point?
Would it be Mandy Brandy?
It would be Mandy Brandy. Yeah, Brandy is a distilled wine. So that means, Sam, very good. You managed to get that point away from Curtis like he took yours. Okay, Sam, you can tie it up here. Paying homage to James Garner, the WWE Intercontinental Champion plays a detective in a new series. What might it be called?
Don't know on that one.
All right. Well, Curtis, do you have any idea here? We're going classic.
I can say it's AJ Styles, but I can't figure out the rhyme.
All right. Well, the rhyme is the homage to James Garner was a reference to the Rockford Files, and it would be Styles Files. So no points awarded there. Everybody's still in the game. And Curtis, this next question is yours. The former Heidi Lovelace opens a marijuana shop specializing in joints.
No idea.
No idea. All right, you got to know the indie name in order to get this one. So, Sam, how's your knowledge here? Do you know Heidi Lovelace? Because it'll help you.
Ruby's Doobies.
Oh, Sam's got it with Ruby's Doobies. Heidi Lovelace, now Ruby Riott. And that puts you at a tie. But, Sam, a come-from-behind victory can be had if you score this last question. But pay attention, Curtis, because you can steal it away if he doesn't get it. Sam, Mercedes Martinez's new manager opens an ice cream shop. Mercedes Martinez's new manager opens an ice cream shop. What would it be called?
Oh, I know who it is, but I can't think of...
Oh, you're buzzed out there, Sam. You've had time. You've had time. Curtis, your guess?
Is it Stone Cones?
Stone's Cones is what I needed for that. And with that, Curtis manages to steal it back and steal it away in a 3-2 victory. Congratulations, Curtis. It's the t-shirt of your choice from ProWrestlingTees.com. Sam, you got so close with two steals. Really, I feel like I needed to reverse these questions because you guys did really well on each other's questions. But thanks for playing, Sam. We're back at it, and I'll be rescheduling everyone come September once again to get you back on the air and hopefully get you a t-shirt next time. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Jason.
So I keep talking about this. If you sign up for the Patreon, yes, you can play Turnbuckle Trivia, and I'm going to start scheduling in everything from September to the end of the year before we get into the tournament in the new year, which I should already start writing now because it takes me a while. And along with that, you get a commercial-free version of the Sunday show plus all of our podcasts. So to all of you listening right now on terrestrial radio, that's not something you can rewind and fast forward on, but you can if you get the podcast and you get it commercial free. So sign up, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and Anthony Corelli. That's right, Santino Morello. We'll get an update on his neck and his gym. All still to come Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
A pleasure to welcome to the show a friend of this program. He's the owner of the Battle Arts Academy in Mississauga, Ontario. Oh, and you may also know him as Santino Morella from WWE, Anthony Corelli. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, love having you on. And I guess we should start with the fact that last time we talked to you on this show, you were in the process of getting the special treatment, the stem cell treatment on your neck. So let's get an update. How are things?
Yeah, things are well. You know, I did three levels. So my lower back, and two levels in my neck, the levels above and below the fusions. I had a double fusion take place. And they said, you know, you can start to expect to see the benefits between 3 and 6 months. And I remember when 3 months came around, I was like, I don't feel anything. But shortly after, you know, 3 months and 2 weeks, 3 weeks, some of the small things, like sitting up in the morning the first time, there wasn't that shooting pain. Bending over to pick something up, there wasn't that shooting pain. And ever since then, I mean, if I have to lift something really heavy, leave me a little sore the next day, but it's definitely improving, and it's supposed to improve for up to 2 years.
Wow.
So that's encouraging.
And then after that, do you go back for more, or is that where you stand for the rest of your life?
I guess you let pain be the determining factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny. So I just started training, and then all of a sudden, I hurt my left knee. So I'm getting an MRI on that.
Well, I mean, that's so. What do you? Are you? You're just training for personal fitness, or I mean, because I was going to ask you. You know, with your obviously one of the questions, and I'm sure you get it all the time, is with feeling a little bit better. You know, we've seen returns recently. Edge, of course, also had the neck problems, and Adam Copeland stepped back into the ring. Is that something is even in your thought process?
Not really. I'm pretty happy. You know, I would love to pursue a career in commentary.
Right.
And I mean, if there's for example, Jerry Lawler was a commentator for years. And once in a while, someone would go poke his chest and tell him he's washed up and to get in the ring and, you know, have a match. I'd be open to that kind of thing. But to be a full-time wrestler, not so much. I mean, hey, if I was a comedy tag team with R-Truth, that would appeal to me. But all that time away from home again, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you, of course, for those of you who may not follow you on Instagram, your Instagram is, there's a little bit of battle arts there, but there's a whole lot of your new son. You seem to be spending a lot of time, your primary focus now is being a dad.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, my daughter, who is 25 now, when she was this age, I was in university and I was a full-time judo athlete, and coming home, quick bite to eat, out the door, and you know, those first few years they fly by, and I was on the path to doing the same thing, just working on the weekends and coaching at night and just busy all the time. So staying home during this pandemic and getting this time with him, he was a year and a half, and now he's a year and 9 months. And what an incredible time! He's talking now, running around, and we can play, and we can just do stuff. And it's the value of that is really immeasurable, right?
Well, I know you're spending a lot of time with him, but you haven't stopped watching wrestling, and wrestling has not stopped. What have you thought about the product that has gone on during the pandemic?
I mean, there's been some good stuff, to be honest. People really adapted well to the fact that there's no audience. Seth Rollins, this new kid, the Messiah, has been great, and he's really found his niche finally. Even Bayley and Sasha, you know, they kind of found this little niche. So I don't know if it's the lack of a distraction of the audience that allowed them to find that niche, or it was just, you know, matter of time before they found it, but there's been some good stuff. I look at Drew McIntyre and the ability to connect with an audience through a camera, like, you know, really well done, right? You know, and I'm sure that there's audience members chomping at the bit to, you know, share their appreciation once large audiences are allowed again. And I just hope he can hold the title and bridge the gap until audiences are allowed again. But it's been good. It's been fun. Now that they had the NXT guys kind of sporadically spread out in the audience, at least there's some reactions. And I'm not opposed to Can cheering as well.
So now you're someone who is extremely gifted comedically. I mean, people who've listened to me through the years know I was a huge fan of yours. And, you know, this audience and your gig and your gimmick would have been very audience dependent. What modifications would you have made to your character if you were performing during these COVID times?
I don't know. I always kind of, the live audience is really super small percentage of the audience compared to the audience at home. So as long as the audience at home is laughing. So when you have a live audience that's laughing, it's kind of like that canned laughter for when you're watching a sitcom. But without the audience, it would be more like a Curb Your Enthusiasm, where there's funny stuff, but there's no laughter that you have to laugh on your own. So that's probably a pretty good analogy.
It's just, I would guess it's so much harder to work and you're leaving gaps for the audience reaction, which isn't there. You're hoping it's at home. It's like you don't get the, I mean, you and I have been on stage together, and doing that without an audience, you wouldn't get the approval of what you're doing. You'd kind of seem lost without knowing how people are reacting.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that that's one of the complaints that some of the old timers have with the new young wrestlers, is that they don't listen to the audience. They just kind of plan their match and just stick to the plan. So for those people that wrestle like that, this is their time, right? There's no audience to listen to. But for the old timers that listen to the audience, and yeah, I guess there's no audience to listen to. It's actually pretty dumb, you know, to get that immediate feedback. Or, you know, when you're in a hold, like Hulk Hogan, you know, it was all about the audience cheering him on to get up, to yeah. Hulk up. And it just definitely wouldn't be the same. I had a conversation with Drew McIntyre, and I said, you know, on one hand, you have the historical first ever WrestleMania, you know, not in front of a live audience, and that's going to always be remembered. But, and there's a lot of things that he did really well, but how does that compare with not having your moment of that, just feeling that energy of 80,000 plus people cheering and sending you their love, and you're standing in the middle of the ring like an antenna, just absorbing all of it. And, you know, he had a pretty good perspective on it, and still appreciates it. So I really hope he gets that opportunity to feel that one day.
I honestly feel bad for the guy, and I've said this on the show numerous times. He's someone who had that early run as the chosen one and ultimately had to go away from the organization, came back, did everything right, worked to get there, a good stint in NXT, and now he's finally rewarded at the worst possible time. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, in his words, it is what it is, and he's still the champion, and, you know, he's been a champion for a while. This is kind of his year, although no one likes to see him. But, yeah, I know. Me too. I feel bad for him. I'm trying to be positive, but yeah, it sucks.
It does. It does. Anthony, I look forward to seeing you on Aftermath, and thanks for taking time out today.
My pleasure.
Taking a break, back with Bartender Dave for a whole hour, looking back at this week in WWE and AEW TV, plus your feedback. That's next Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. And we were trying different things, and we were smoking funny things, making love out by the lake. Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. If you ever can't tune into the show live or miss a part or just want to hear it again, the shows are available at patreon.com/snmeradio. And it's only $1 a show. Plus, you get access to all of our patron-exclusive podcasts, which include NXT TakeOver review shows. Just visit patreon.com/snmeradio. It's only $1 a show, and we appreciate the support.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have 4 beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
What the hell's going on?
Maybe they're out. Maybe they're recruiting again. I don't know.
They got someone in their sights, and that someone is Cody. That's what it seems like.
Look, a double A's in the ring.
Double A better be careful.
Wait a minute.
Hey, who is that?
Wait a minute.
That's Cardona.
Matt Cardona.
Cody's longtime friend.
They've traveled the road together. He's come out here.
I didn't hardly recognize him.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
It is the second hour of Sunday night's main event, and I am happy to be joined by the man who, I love it when he used to pour me beers. Were you supposed to call you the former bartender, or does that ruin your gimmick?
It ruins the gimmick, sir.
Okay, so Bartender Dave is on the show, everybody.
Oh, brother Jason, what an honor and privilege it is to be on SNME Radio on such a historic weekend in sports and entertainment. We have not seen the NBA play a game since March 11th, the NHL since March 12th, but Saturday found me planted on my couch for three NHL games and a win by our beloved Raptors. And what does this have to do with professional wrestling, you ask? Well, it would seem that I didn't bat an eye at the lack of crowd or the pumped in cheers and chants. So in closing, I would like to say, like Hulk Hogan did February 17th, 2002, God bless Vince McMahon.
Wow, what a promo to kick things off. That's a really good point, though, Dave. I mean, I think that there was always discussion of, you know, traditional sports when they returned using crowds, using those the sound effects, and a lot of that is pulled from, you know, thoughts that they had stemming from video games. But yeah, if you look at it, WWE was obviously the first to be out there, never stopped, continued to roll along, and I think some of the mistakes that they've made have definitely been looked at and corrected in sports. One thing I will say, though, that I always thought sports had an advantage over wrestling because of the actual competition aspect, and I can lose myself in the competition, whereas the crowd, the wrestling performers are so much more dependent on the crowd.
Oh, without a doubt. And I kind of liked, like, I watched the Edmonton Oilers game last night or yesterday afternoon, and they had them as their hometown. Like, it was their home stadium. So they'd have the Go Oilers Go chants go on every once in a while. And I like, kind of cheesy, but you know what? I liked it. I didn't notice the no crowd thing.
Yeah, that, you know, that same thing happened when the Blue Jays, who do not have a home stadium this year because there is no baseball in Canada. I mean, it will be Buffalo, but they don't have one yet if MLB continues playing with all the coronavirus. Nonetheless, they were in Washington. It was supposed to be their home opener, and they had the Blue Jays announcer piped in to do the and had the Blue Jays walk-up music and all that. So they tried to rep the home teams. Anyway, though, Dave, we're not talking about sports. We're talking about sports entertainment. We're talking about professional wrestling, and we're talking about the clip that I played off the top there, and that is Matt Cardona, the former Zack Ryder, making his debut this week in AEW. I don't know if I'm in the minority for this, but I watched that, and I just laughed at how anticlimactic this debut was.
Yeah, it was really anticlimactic. And like they use Matt Cardona and everything, but he's always going to be Zack Ryder to me, and that's unfortunate, but I'll give it time. But it's exactly that's what it was. It was just like, hey, he comes in, and then him and Cody share a handshake, and yay.
Dave, what I mean? Yeah, I do know what you mean. I thought it was really nothing. And I'm not saying that you want to bring Matt Cardona in and do what Impact Wrestling has done and, you know, put him right at the top of the card. And there is logic to him being there and he and Cody actually being good friends. So I see that. But why debut him now and continually do these debuts without a crowd? I'm tired of this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I don't think that they really have another choice because you don't know how long this is going.
Dave,
what
do you need Matt Cardona on the card for?
You don't, but if you're going to bring him in, you're going to have to do it at some point in time, and they don't know how long this is going to last with the numbers rising in Florida, I think that they don't have another choice but to bring him on like that. Now, you're right. He shouldn't be put into a top spot. Absolutely not, because he's still got that Zack Ryder stink on him, right? So you got to build him back up again.
Now,
just don't do the Sean Spears thing.
Well, that is the next person that I have listed here that it really feels to me like this could fall into Sean Spears 2.0. You bring him in, it's the same storyline they've done with Sean Spears. You've also seen it with MJF, though I'll give him a pass because that to me is something new and fresh. But it's, hey, I'm Cody's buddy. I'm Cody's buddy. I'm Cody's buddy. Get out of here, Cody. I'm your enemy. And I know we haven't seen it yet, but to me, it just seems like that's the road we're on again.
You were so right on that, because just the happy smiles, like glad handing, yay, but you could see the heel turn coming.
I mean, I don't
it's
know.
It's going to be the exact same thing without the stupid mohawk.
Yeah, and the contacts. You know, at least, listen, he does look, I guess, kind of different. It's not like he's wearing all of his bright colors that he wore in WWE. And listen, I'll give him a chance. I just honestly didn't see the need for the debut at this time and place. And don't know how much value he is going to bring. But, I mean, yeah, give him a chance. And I just think that if you didn't need it now, give it a few months and see if they can somehow manage to get crowds in and when that can happen. I just don't think he needed it right now, and that's why I kind of questioned it with all the WWE people that are being brought in. Hey, this week, though, before the Cardona debut happened, Dave, we had Warhorse. And you were excited about Warhorse being the selection for Cody this week.
I think it was a great idea because, like, this is like Warhorse. He's from Michigan. He's part of this group of what you call like I guess internet darlings, so to speak. And indies. Like you got Warhorse, you got Danhausen, you got Dan the Dad, Alley Cat, Effie. All of these, they travel together in that, and they've become really big on Twitter. And I liked it because, like, he's saying, oh, yeah, I've got this open challenge to absolutely anybody. And I like it because it's not like the John Cena open challenge to anybody in the back. Like, they're actually bringing in these people that the fans are demanding, because the reaction on Twitter for Warhorse to be part of that went on for a good three or four weeks before they actually announced it, when Arn Anderson did the, well, what about that Warhorse kid on that one promo that he did. And like when that happened, it felt so organic and real, and I got really, really excited for it.
Yeah, and along with that, as these things happen, you know, Eddie Kingston, AEW did sign Eddie Kingston this week. So it's almost a way that they are trying out people. I am not I'm not tired of it yet. I like being able to see all of these different performers that you wouldn't normally see on TV.
Yeah.
But Warhorse didn't quite hit the heights of Eddie Kingston and what went on the previous week in match in promo, for sure.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Like, but that's Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston is untouchable. When he's on the mic, like his stuff in the NWA that he did, just for that short time that he was there, fantastic. Now, but Warhorse is actually from the indies, and that's what got me so excited, because like, yeah, Eddie Kingston is a great talent, but he's also a known talent, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like Warhorse was kind of like from the underbelly of wrestling, and I was just like, oh, this is going to be great, because I thought it was a real big thing for independent wrestling to have somebody represent it.
Who else do you want to see? I mean, I know you're someone, you get out to the Destiny Wrestling shows. You go watch all of these guys run through Toronto. Is there someone else that you want to see walk out there and get some TV time and challenge Cody for the TNT title if they continue this?
Without a doubt, Danhausen.
Danhausen,
he's probably one of my favorite guys. He's fantastic. So fun to watch. Other than that, there's so many good players around, like Psycho Mike. I'd love to see Psycho Mike have a chance, but it's just it's there's so many good independent wrestlers right now, and if they start doing this on a week-to-week basis, oh, it'll be great.
Well, they kind of already are. I mean, I just like to see RJ City show up and refuse to wrestle while answering the challenge.
Yeah, but like, come on, he'll get signed right away just with that that little sneer he always does and the backwards over the shoulder look. Like he's untouchable.
Ridiculous.
Actually, I didn't even think of RJ. Do it. RJ
he's
City.
RJ City. I'll ask him. He'll be the guest on this show next week, actually, talking about what's going on with Destiny doing their barbecue. So I will bring that up with him next week. Okay, so let's continue on here with what happened on Dynamite this week. And we had Sammy Guevara back on TV, and they decided to reignite the feud with Matt Hardy. I guess Private Party is just cast off on their own, but it's Sammy Guevara and Matt Hardy. I don't know if... Okay, I don't know if I like what's happening now, Dave, but I will say if this continues on and this ends up with Sammy Guevara going to the Hardy compound and it's broken Matt Hardy, I think that they have some gold on their hands. This is something I wanted before Guevara took his leave, and I do think that he is comedically talented enough to make a play off the broken character very good if they put him in that scenario.
Oh yeah, because he always looks like he's like scared, like out of his pants every time that Matt Hardy does anything, because he's got that those wide eyes and everything like that. I'm not a huge Sammy Guevara fan.
No,
but
really,
it's for the good reasons, because he's got that face that you just want to slap.
Okay,
you know what I'm talking about.
I'd love to
like,
hate
it's just
him,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I've known guys like this, you know, and it's like, oh, I just, you know, and but I do like what they're doing with him and Jericho, how it's kind of like, you know, Spike and Chester from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yes.
Like the big dog and the little dog jumping around, and Sammy's like that little dog jumping around Jericho. I freaking love that. It's so it's really, really entertaining. So I'm not going to write this off yet. I'd love to see him at the Hardy compound for sure. But I don't even know. Have they done anything like that in AEW yet?
I mean, not really. They've done some stuff with Hardy when they did the Stadium Stampede match.
Right. And they did the little pool of
yes,
reincarnation.
Yes. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it. It was very funny. So, and I think Guevara, I'll give this some. I think Guevara and Hardy will play well off each other. I don't think I like the way that this was put back together and integrated with Matt interfering here. You mentioned Chris.
Yeah, Matt's
Jericho.
Looking old too.
You know, Matt's very valuable. He is someone
yes.
who's proven that he's able to recreate himself. He's someone that's proven that he understands the business. He has a mind for the business. I just have a bit of a hard time watching him in the ring because he just looks like his body is in pain all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. He always looks like he's in pain. Like it looks like it hurts to move.
Yeah.
Even like when he was on the ring apron and he jumped down, I was like, oh, geez, that must have hurt.
Let's talk about Chris Jericho. You already mentioned him in regards to Sammy Guevara, and Chris Jericho challenging Orange Cassidy to a debate. Dave, it was the moderator that will blow our minds, Jericho said. And I mean, it's out there now. I'm not even going to count this as a spoiler because I think getting it out there is only going to bring more eyes to it. It's Eric Bischoff appearing in AEW. I am so fascinated about this. I will watch it on Wednesday night. Normally I watch it the next day. I will watch it on Wednesday night because I am so fascinated about what this is.
Yeah, this one I didn't see coming at all, and I'm very intrigued by it because you said that Matt Hardy's got a great mind for wrestling. So does Eric Bischoff, and I know that.
Hold on, a great mind for the business. Eric Bischoff took a billion dollar company and threw it into the garbage can. Eric Bischoff,
yeah, but it was fun to watch.
Oh man, no, do not. He does not have a good mind for the business. One thing I will give him is that he is a very good on camera performer.
Yes, but you also have to remember that HLA saved the WWE.
Oh. No, Dave. Okay. Let me throw you, but to everything that you say, Eric, about the HLA, to me, remember when Eric Bischoff moderated the Billy and Chuck wedding and he pulled off the face and I had no idea it was him. He was incredible. Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said that, Eric Bischoff. I was like, oh, if he comes out in all that makeup and tears the face, oh, that would be so great. But like, it would be going back to something. But that was like, it was an amazing moment in wrestling. Like, just take, 3 seconds? And it was like, oh, so good.
Yeah. So they're continuing on with this Jericho and Orange Cassidy thing. And it looks like they are doing the rematch on August the 12th. Does Orange Cassidy get the win here, Dave? And if that's the case, I mean, yes or no to that. And then is Jericho and Cassidy programmed for All Out as well? Do you think they do 3?
Yeah, I do. I would almost guarantee it. Yeah, for sure. Because Orange Cassidy is over like crazy, and he needs an opponent like Jericho to make him that much more of a star as well, because it gives him a bit more validity as a wrestler, because he's always known as just the guy that shoves his hands in his pocket and does the kip up. But like this way, I think it's going to bring out a bit more of his character and a bit more of his in-ring work, because he can go. He is a great wrestler. So, well, great might be pushing it, but you know what I mean. So I'm like, I'm very intrigued at this, and I think that they should push it as far as they can, because they've got gold in Orange Cassidy right now.
I'm curious, AEW doesn't run many repeat matches, and I think they might have to start doing that for the longevity of the company to think a little long term. I'm just curious, does Jericho get the win over Cassidy on the 12th, and then Cassidy get the big win at All Out, where it's the final win of the feud, even though it's already 2-0, so Jericho can always claim to have beat him twice, but Orange Cassidy walks away with the win? Or does it go 1-1, and then does Cassidy win again at All Out? It's very intriguing what they have going on here, and I think Jericho is going to want to do whatever is best for Orange Cassidy. And that's probably Cassidy gets a sneak victory on the 12th and then in a gimmick match at All Out wins again.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, why not? Like, but I do like your idea of how Jericho can have the two wins and then Cassidy gets a blow-off one that really puts him over. And then Jericho can still be that smarmy heel where he's like, I beat you twice. That would be great as well. But yeah, I could see that, like a little roll-up pin and then have a real big match at All Out.
You know, with Jericho's crew, they are the Inner Circle. And have you noticed how great Ortiz is? Ortiz
yes.
is starting to break away from the pack. And I don't mean that by he's leaving the group. I just mean that by he's starting to stand out. And as dumb as it was, Dave, that cat
right.
pee line where he just waited and just yelled cat pee at Tony Schiavone was so comedically perfect as far as the timing and delivery went. There's a lot more to this guy than just being in a tag team, and it's a great tag team, but there's a lot.
Oh,
this
yeah,
guy's got
sure.
a good look as well. Like, there's a lot more to
yeah.
Ortiz.
Yeah, I'd like to see what would happen with him on his own, but I'm still really enjoying the tag team right
yeah.
now. But you can see, like, these little glimmers of this talent that has not been held back, but is evolving almost inside of him. And it's really interesting to watch.
FDR did their signing segment as we talk about the tag division here. It's
yes.
strange, though. They're aligned with Arn right now, who's also aligned with Cody. Like, are they going to turn on Arn and go with Tully? I don't quite understand the affiliation with Arn at this particular point in time, unless it leads to, you know, we're getting this tag team celebration on August 12th and maybe
right.
Tully confronts Arn there, something like that. I'm not sure.
But
what do you think?
Like, I understand that, like, Tully and Arn are at odds, obviously, but why would it have to be Tully and not Arn?
I thought more so the heel side of things, though I guess right now FTR is kind of operating as baby faces.
Yeah, because that's what I got, because they came in and everybody made a big deal about them. And of course they're going to be baby faces because they're a fantastic team. So I think the Arn thing should be. But if you're going to do it, I like them as faces more than heels. Well,
ultimately the feud with the Bucks, I think, will throw them into a heel role. Do you think this is a bit of a tease for a Horseman stable? I mean, you got Hangman, you got Cody, and you got FTR, and you got Arn behind them playing the J.J. Dillon role. It really smells like the Horseman here.
Yeah, because I didn't think about that, but you're totally right. And with Paige in there, and Paige is really okay. He's probably one of the performers in the past, I'd say like 5-6 months, that has really turned the corner for me.
Yeah.
Because I did not like him. I thought
me
he
either.
Was just like that cowboy gimmick, the fallaway slam, the big lariat, you know, like the John Layfield Bradshaw of AEW. But I'm really getting into his character, and his work on this week's show as well. Every week he keeps impressing me. So, like, I'd love to see that, a nice little stable like that. Why not? Let's do it.
Also, speaking of Hangman, I mean, the pouring of the whiskey to the top of the glass and then just downing all of the whiskey. Like, it had to be iced tea, because there's no way you're putting away
God.
Jack Daniels in a whole glass of it.
Well, I don't know. No.
For the
Jack
record.
Daniels, maybe Jameson.
if the reason why I say iced tea, on the series Dallas, they used iced tea in place of bourbon on set, because they always drank on Dallas, and that was what they would use. It's the perfect color to use iced tea.
It is? Oh, wow. I didn't know that. And I used to watch Dallas with my mom Saturday night?
It was Friday nights at 9 p.m. Friday nights at 9,
and
it was followed by Falconcrest.
Falconcrest, I remember that one too. Oh, my God. I haven't thought of Dallas in ages.
What do you think of the what do you think of the Deadly Draw tournament, which we will not be seeing on TV? I mean, the first thing we get out of this is Ariane Andrew showing up. What's happening?
Am I supposed to know who Ariana
is? Well, she's
Andrew
a Funkadactyl.
Is?
She's Cameron from WWE.
I did not even notice that.
Yeah, she showed up. So she's going to be the partner of Nyla Rose and I guess just play out to make Nyla Rose angry. I mean, I got no time.
Yeah, but if this is not on television, why do we care?
Well, I'm wondering if this is finally going to be a time where, since they've teased this on Dynamite and since we saw this Nyla Rose promo here with Vicky, and they're putting more of a spotlight on Nyla because Vicky is with Nyla, I'm wondering if finally we're going to see highlights of this, because I think that the Deadly Draw tournament could have a lot of matches that aren't that great if you watch the entire match, but maybe in highlight form, 2 minutes every week could be pretty solid.
Yeah, it's kind of like that the intergender thing that the WWE did last year, was it?
On Facebook Watch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you watched it in highlight form, it was kind of entertaining. If you tried to watch it straight through, it was like, oh God, what am I doing with my life?
The mixed match challenge.
I believe
is what it was. Yeah.
I loved Braun and Alexa. I thought that was great.
Well, listen, we're going to talk more about Braun and Alexa as we get into this show here. but a couple more things on AEW before we move right along.
Yes.
We also have MJF doing his State of the Industry address. He announces his candidacy for AEW champion. First of all, an election year, this was so smart about how they put MJF out there. On top of that, it's MJF. He's incredible. What did you think about all this? I think I'll give you my setback. The only one thing I could say bad about it, but first, what did you think about the segment?
I loved it. There was nothing about this I didn't like. Like, the whole thought about, this is my State of the Industry address, and he announces his candidacy for the AEW champion, just like you said, how this is a voting year. Everybody hates Donald Trump except for those who don't hate him, but no offense. But like that, it just adds to his character in so many different levels. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. What didn't you like about it?
Well, no, it's not what I don't like about this. It's what I don't like about what it could represent. And that is it too fast for MJF to be going against Jon Moxley at All Out?
Who else has he got?
Yeah, I mean, that is true, but if that is the case, if he goes and faces Moxley, does he win the title? Because I don't want to see him lose. Okay,
yeah, for sure.
Really, that is so
fast. What has Moxley done? Moxley's done nothing. He's sat at home, scared of Corona.
yes, according to Taz. According to Taz, heel manager, that's what he's done. Not according to Taz, a commentator, because we have to divide our Tazes in AEW. I mean, as we say a lot of nice things about AEW, that is the one garbage thing. Taz should not be on commentary. I wouldn't have pulled Excalibur off, but I think Excalibur pulled himself off due to what's going on with him. Final thing before we duck on out of here for a break and come back with some NXT is Darby and Moxley versus Ricky Starks and Brian Cage. The one spot we have to talk about is Darby hitting the skateboard of tacks onto Starks' back. Too much for me, Dave. I wasn't interested.
Can you just imagine how that felt?
No, I can't. It's like, ludicrous. Oh,
it's bad enough getting tacks in your back, but to have them scraped across your back. No, my God. Why would they even think that this was a good spot to try?
No, it wasn't. It was too much. It was unnecessary. I didn't need it. On top of that, go beyond this match and... You know, we're praising AEW a lot in this segment, but, you know, let's hammer them down where it's due. They pulled a Monday Night Raw here. You had MJF giving his State of the Industry address, calling out Jon Moxley for All Out. Then, at the end of the show, Darby Allin is facing Moxley next week. So this is, to me, the same type of scenario as we saw with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, where we watched that match, but we knew it was going to be Orton versus McIntyre. There's no difference between these two same scenarios.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I didn't even catch that. Because, even if you look at Darby Allin, he's not going to beat Jon Moxley. He doesn't have it in him yet. He in the future, maybe, but right now, absolutely not. And I was still trying to figure out what the number five contender means. Does that just mean he's fifth on the list?
Yeah, or I don't like that either.
So who's number one?
I haven't looked
Does
at
anybody
the
know?
Yeah, they're listed. They're out there. I just don't care for it. I mean, here, I foresee next week, what I foresee happening is Mox and Darby, they have a match, and odds are you get Ricky Starks and Brian Cage interfering, and that's going to set up. I think what we need to see here is Brian Cage and Darby Allin have a match. Brian Cage beat the hell out of Darby Allin, but Darby pull out the victory. And I think that's where we're headed with that particular feud, and then Mox is going to spit off to MJF. I didn't care for that. I didn't care for the skateboard with Tax. I didn't need it. I didn't like it. And I don't like the way Darby Allin doesn't need to wrestle Moxley. I don't want to see that either.
No, and it's face versus face. It's just, meh. Yeah. Like, obviously, this is a holdover, but come on, you could have done better than that.
David, we must break. We will come back, okay, and we'll get into your world next. It'll be NXT that we chat about next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. There's actually lots more of this, and you can get it commercial-free, and you can get an extended version. But you just got to drop in and be a supporter on our Patreon. It's only $4 a month, and you get this show, plus you also get 4 other podcasts per week. So find us and go support at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Yep, patreon.com/SNMEradio, because without you, this show doesn't exist. patreon.com/SNMEradio. We appreciate your support.